Art and crafts. Once the domain of lonely housewives, frustrated gay men, and tortured children at day camps, the art of making things by hand is having a renaissance on the internet, with sites like Etsy allowing craftspeople to make and sell all sorts of fabulous things. But just like that arts and crafts fair at your local community center, many people find all sorts of colorful ways to get into your business and even pick fights over your art.
Today we're joined by visual artist Kenny Stein, who under the alias Brian Kenny makes glittery postcards with vintage images of hunks, pinup gals, mugshots, and circus freaks. Listen as Kenny shares with us his stories on making it big on Etsy, fighting with Christian fundamentalists, and the horrific homemade arts and crafts atrocities featured on the popular blog Regretsy.
Plus the hot news, police shut down a bestiality farm full of sad, tortured animals.
The Supreme Court struggles to understand the difference between emails and pagers in a landmark hearing.
Wu Yulu, a Chinese farmer, devotes his life to making robots out of scrap materials and is about to unleash his creations on the world.
And a heated discussion erupts on our site over the originality of Lady Gaga and the creation of culture.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Today's show is brought to you by generous support of fabulous listeners like you, and by Steamworks Gym Sauna and Baths. Steamworks Gym Sauna and Baths.
Release the pressure!
Saca la presión.
Steamworks.
Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, Toronto, Seattle, Washington, and now Vancouver, British Columbia.
When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you.
Visit steamworksonline.com and register for a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fun in the promo code field to get the special discount. And remember, play hard,
play smart. Designer Kenny Stein is on today's Feast of Fun. One word.
Kenny Stein.
One whole word. Kenny Stein.
You might know him better as from his card and fashion line, Brian Kenny Chicago, who makes the world a better place one fabulous card at a time. He's on today's show to talk about how you can get rich on Etsy and selling your arts and crafts and fantastic creations online. Welcome to Feast of Fun.
And hello. Nice to be here.
Nice to see you.
Welcome, Kenny.
So, Kenny, so tell us about your card making process and journey. Like, describe what you do to the people who can't see what you're doing.
Okay.
And talk into that microphone.
Okay. Yeah. It's not a Hallmark card.
So what? No, they sure aren't.
They're definitely not a Hallmark. They're images. They're rays. They're detailed. Everything is handmade except the paper, which I buy. They're high end.
So you like to find campy images? Actually, you brought a box of these things for us. Oh, this is so nice. So it has Betty Page bombs, cherries, and guns with glitter on top of it.
And diamonds.
Should we open it?
And diamonds.
Real diamonds. Genuine ersatz.
Oh, look, you've left some rhinestones. And it's fabulous. And there's some cards inside here.
Very
homoerotic.
And
the first thing that I see is the bird man, the cuckoo bird man from the film Todd Browning's Freaks.
Uh-huh, which, that's right, Cuckoo the Bird Girl.
Which is a good card to give to somebody for their birthday.
A girl?
Yeah,
it's a girl.
And so, what did you do there? Because I see you made her, you gave her a yellow glitter dress.
Yes.
That's how she looks supposed to look like.
Is that what she was supposed to look like in the film Freaks? One of us.
Well, in my mind,
okay,
that's how she was supposed to look.
And then I have Hot Pants Homo. Women lusted after this handsome, virile Jasmine. It took him years of agony to realize he wanted a man. Bisexual. He took on male and female alike. Ooh.
And I sell a ton of those.
Do you really?
Yeah. I would have to say, out of all of them, that's my bestseller.
That's the bestseller?
Yeah.
Why is that? Because women give them to their husbands?
I think, and everybody just seems to like it, you know? Everybody really seems to like it, mm-hmm. and they like the pants.
The pants, because what you've done here is you've taken this image of this, you know, I guess it's a kind of 1950s looking guy with this woman, and you've made his pants shiny, glittery.
It's only glitter. I can.
Because you love the glitter.
Oh, it's all about the glitter.
I love glitter, too. It's sort of like in an age where everything's so much digital, it's sort of refreshing and fun to see somebody who's actually like making things with their hands.
What was the quote from your niece about glitter? It was the cutest
thing.
Oh,
yes, Victoria. So we had been decorating the Christmas tree and going through all this trouble with these very expensive decorations. And she had a temper tantrum because she wanted to put this like $12 angel ornament right there on the floor.
Uh-huh.
Like, so where anybody could knock it and break it and you know, break into a million pieces. I said, Victoria, why are you so intent on hanging this angel right down so low where anybody could kick it, you know? And she's like, because I like it. And I was like, well, and why do you like it so much? And she just kind of looked at the angel and said, porque tiene glitter.
Because it has glitter.
It translates glitter in any language.
I think, you know, it's, who doesn't like sparkly things?
Who does? That's right.
Crabs in remote parts of the oceanic beaches find shiny objects and woo their mates by flashing
and
them
around. And mockingbirds love to go and collect things on the seafloor.
Yes, he was holding something shiny.
It was his hot knob. So how did you get into the card making business?
You know, it's something I've always done. I've always made cards. And then someone told me I should do retail because I made a lot of custom cards and bar mitzvah cards and wedding invitations. And so I didn't like that. So I wanted to do something that I had more control over, that didn't have so much input from customers.
Mm-hmm. You wanted some kitsch. And
You know, and I couldn't find the cards that I liked. Mm-hmm. I'm not that Hallmark, Holly Hobby, everything treacle. Mm-hmm. You know, I love you so much.
Oh, yeah, those things. They're always... We used to have a friend of ours that we used to say that she used to, like, get high on ecstasy, and she would go into Walgreens and just read through all the cards, because she'd always come back with, like, these crazy trait messages.
Oh, they're
like,
horrible.
Oh, my God.
Who Where you did are that is good enough.
You're special. We love you, son. It's like, please. And, you know, and the worst was at the holidays, like at Mother's Day and Father's Day, because if I gave one of those cards, you know, I love you, Mom, she would think something was up.
She's like, what is he after?
She's like, what did he make? So, well,
I was looking through these cards. I was just like, which one of these can I send to my mother? Hot pants, homo. Should I give her Frank Sinatra mugshots?
What about these two very scary looking sons of the soil?
Hillbillies.
Hillbillies.
Those are the mountain folk, man.
Mm-hmm. Where are they?
That's kind of a famous photo.
Yes,
though.
It is. It's a famous photo.
What's the story behind them?
It's a famous photo, and apparently...
Talking to the microphone.
Sorry. Yeah. Apparently in the 30s, the government did a study on inbreeding in Appalachia, and that's one of the pictures.
Oh.
Because I guess those features had gotten exaggerated because these people had been marrying their own family.
It's a father and son as well as brothers.
No, really? They are?
Yes.
Well, you can't be brothers and be father and son with somebody.
Well, they're mountain folk.
Well, but I would be biological. I
think that might be exaggerated, though. Or something. They might have just found people that were
had sex with his mom
or his sister,
and the son then would be technically a half brother and his son.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Either way, they're
inbred. They look charming.
Well, because inbreeding, it takes so many generations to actually to be inbred like that.
It's not instant.
No, it's not instant. They say you can do it up to, you can marry your cousin up to like four times or something like that.
Ew. Only four times?
Well, you know,
four
generations.
My dad did marry his first cousin in his first marriage.
It happens more than you think.
Don't look at me like that. I'm not part of that.
I was. You read my mind.
Is he inbred?
There's some things you just shouldn't tell.
So you actually sell a lot of this stuff on Etsy.
Yes, I love Etsy.
For people who may not be familiar with Etsy, how would you describe that site?
Etsy is a website where everything is handmade, and everybody has a little shop, and they have everything. They have cards, they have clothes, and a lot of times you have to wade through some shit, And but
listen, my mom is listening to the show, so keep your mouth.
Sorry, I told you. And it's just great. It's like where handcrafters go, and then they have a supply section, and you can ask for custom work. It's a place where people that craft, because it's hard to get into retail when you're a crafter. So it's a retail site for them.
And it's kind of like eBay, but it's non-auction. But
it's non-auction.
And you go there specifically because you want handcrafted things. Right. And you want to sell handcrafted
And everything's
things.
Divided by categories. Right. And and even if you want to look for something red, you just, you know, under search, you punch in red.
Right.
And everything will come up.
And I would imagine most people that have like an Etsy store probably also sell stuff on eBay as well.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't, though.
You don't? Because I was like, I wonder what's gay. So I did a search for gay.
And did I come up?
No, I don't think you came up, but maybe you did. It was several months ago that I did it. And it was like rainbow stickers. It was like rainbow keychains, like these
horrible, some of it's rainbow really chokers. Bad.
Oh, yeah. It's so totally campy. It's like, what? And then there's some other things that it was like lots of like drawings of like homoerotic men.
And you know what?
And some of it's good, some of it you're just like, oh my God.
Gay art, what an oxymoron. It's, I know, some of it I just look at and say,
some of it I almost want just for the kitchen.
Oh, of course.
Because if I had a lot of money, I would probably buy some of this. Because some of these things are like, it's $12 for you can have a hand-drawn picture of Patrick Swayze with his shirt off. And you're like,
there's some really, really remarkably bizarre things. I just a random search right now. There's I support gay, and then the word gay has been crossed off. Equal rights and a rainbow flag. Recycled paper notebook journal.
Let me guess. I'd say that crafter's name is, let's see, Queen of Queens?
Ivy Lane Designs. And so for $6, you can get yourself a little notebook that says, that screams out to the world that you are for gay rights.
Equal rights.
Equal rights.
For equal rights, and I take notes.
Mm-hmm. Now there's this Staria 221 has a painting called Rainbow Waves for Gay Pride. It's abstract art, and it looks like a finger painting of rainbow colors. Drawn on a 2.5 by 3.5 inch piece of Diet Sunkist 12-pack cardboard.
Really?
Yeah. For $2.
For $2. And that then could be yours.
And $11 shipping and handling.
Yeah. And then there's Star Trek Spock's and Sulu's love affair as a painting spray on paint on wood. For $16, that's the most expensive thing.
They do
you
a
can
lot
also
of
get Christian Siriano to match along with it.
And they do a lot of stuff on wood, painting on wood.
Yeah, it's
on
like
Etsy. I don't know why.
You know, a lot of the crafting stuff is just what people—it's people's notion of it. And especially if you look on Etsy, you see a lot of that, like crochet and stuff. But there's really it's some really great stuff on there.
I know.
Just have to look for it.
Right, now, but it's a lot of fun.
And if you want the flip side, there's regretsy.com.
Where oh my God.
Their slogan is
so
called
fabulous.
Where do it yourself meets what the fuck. And they have a collection right now, just out of the random. I pulled up for $18. You can buy a set of stoneware bowls that has a ceramic glaze that looks like what best could be described as sperm all over it. And you can never wash this off.
Wow.
I have to, every morning I wake up and check Regretsy.
Do you really? Because you're like, you want to see if your stuff's on
it. I want to see that I'm not on it.
Don't you kind of want to get on it? Isn't that like the idea? Like, is other people are like, oh my gosh, must have that now.
Well, I mean, if it works, it works. I'm all for whatever works.
Now, Kenny, you make cards that have like people who've been arrested, serial killers for birthday greetings on them, and you sell them on Etsy.
Yes.
And you get some people writing to you.
Oh, yes.
Horrified about this. What do they say?
I have people write me who say I'm going to burn in hell. I had a woman write me over a mugshot that she said was hers because she had a copy of the picture. And she like went on and on and on. I said, well, I have the Mona Lisa hanging in my kitchen. That doesn't mean I own it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and a lot of, you know.
Are mugshots public domain, though?
Yeah, they are. They're completely. They only go private if you've been acquitted.
Oh,
interesting. Was she acquitted?
No. I mean, it was from 1945. I mean,
so it probably wasn't even her.
Well, it was.
She said it looked like her.
She owned the picture, and she was really mad that I used it, but she didn't own the picture. She owned a copy of the picture.
Right.
She had no rights to the picture. And then there's a lot of Christians who write me.
Because Christians like to quilt.
They do like to quilt crafts. And make wooden plaques.
Wooden plaques.
About Jesus. And her name's Anita. Mm-hmm. And she's always telling me, I'm going to burn in hell. And what goes on in your sick brain that you find this attractive?
What goes on in your sick brain that you finds these things? Some of these things are really pushing the edge, though.
They are. You know, I mean, honestly, those are the tamer ones.
These are great, though. And so you're sort of doing a tete with all the Christian fundamentalists on Etsy.
Well, yeah, you know.
So these are mostly like broken, lonely souls that live in suburbia, and they're turning to arts and crafts because it's a better alternative than killing yourself.
Or drugs.
Or drugs.
Or screwing yes. your neighbor.
Or some of them just do a lot of meth, and then they get into the arts and crafts.
And some of them are just icky, unhappy people. But then there's lots of great people on Etsy.
Yeah,
and I met some really nice people mm-hmm. on there.
But you said that you were telling me before we taped the show that to make it big on Etsy, you have to be either a Christian or a big old queen.
Yes, I do have to say that. Well, they're not the most broad-minded of people, so you have to fit into a category.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, they don't know what to do. I mean, if you look at the crafting men on TV, come on, they're an ovary away from being a woman.
So it's almost like you have to fit a stereotype for
right,
them.
Right, which is exactly what they want.
Which is like Queenie. So if you're like some kind of butch guy that makes things, they're like, I'm not going to understand
what that
means.
And they also have a hard time because I love tits. So I use a lot of boobs in my mm-hmm. stuff. And
that's why you're friends with our friend Gigi.
Oh, are you kidding? That's a treasure trove waiting to be explored.
Yes, yeah, so she's bountiful in the fruits of the flesh.
Oh my God.
Did you see the latest photo of her on Facebook?
The one with the tape on the boobs?
No, not that one. There's just her standing with a bikini.
In a bikini.
Yes, I did see
that
one. In
her kitchen.
We were like, oh my God.
OMG, man.
OMG. But so you do stuff with tits.
Lots of strippers from like the 40s and mm-hmm. 50s. Lots of bad girls.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of stuff.
Because it's that kind of throws them off. Is that what it is? Is it like, why are you doing this with women? You know, you're gay.
I think it throws them off in that they're insulted by the subject matter.
Oh, because it's too sexual for them.
It's too sexual, and it's a man doing mm-hmm. it.
Okay. But you were telling me, too, also you have to belong to a team on Etsy.
Yes.
So you're on Team Queer?
I'm on Team Queer.
And is this like Survivor? Do you guys get like booted off the island of Etsy or something?
They encourage you mm-hmm. to join teams, and they make it so, I mean, and they really are helpful. They give you selling tips, and they have forums, and they go into your shop, mm-hmm. and they critique it, you know, what's working, what's not, change this color, and stuff like that. But
have you found that advice to be helpful at all?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Actually. I mean, not all of it, mm-hmm. but some, yeah.
Now, Etsy, how much of a cut do they take up from what you sell? And do they, you also have to like, they help you figure out how much tax and shipping and handling to charge for things, right?
No, actually, if you list something, it's 20 cents. It doesn't matter how much it costs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's it. And
and then you keep all the money?
They take, I think, 2%.
So it's like PayPal.
Right, which
PayPal is actually 3%.
Right.
Which I also
That's
use on Etsy. And as for shipping, you got to wing that.
Hold on a second. So Etsy takes 2% and PayPal gets their cut. So you're right. Losing like almost 5%.
Plus that 20 cents that it costs
right.
to list
20
it.
Cents.
So you have to add that all in.
But it also introduces your work to a lot of
right,
people.
Right, to a lot of people who wouldn't otherwise...
Because otherwise, you're out there like hoofing it to stores, selling your wares, and hopefully somebody at some kind of shop is going to take it somewhere.
Oh yeah, every day, and I won't do consignment.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean that? What is that? Oh, they have to buy it outright.
Right, they have to buy it outright.
Okay,
because they're just too expensive to make to gamble on.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and it's like these cards would be like, you come back and it's like, I'm ready to get my consignment money, and they're like, what consignment money?
Well,
like,
I cards? Did have a store in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That I shipped a big order to for consignment, and when it came time to pay me, they were like, So I kept asking. They were like, later, we'll pay you later, we'll pay you later. So it had gotten to the point, months had gone by. And I said, you know what? Don't even pay me. Just mail back the cards that didn't sell. Because the way they were making it, I only sold one card. So then he hemmed and hawed, and then he paid me for the full order.
So he was trying to sell you, they haven't sold.
Yeah, because he wanted to keep the money.
Yeah, who wouldn't?
And so when I said, okay, just keep the money and mail me back the cards, he had no cards to mail back to me.
So he was a swindler.
People are
You have to be careful.
Now, I mean, you know, the next thing, your stuff is also available, if you live in Chicago, at the Galleria.
In Andersonville.
In Andersonville, which is the kooky, it's kind of like a physical manifestation of Etsy.
Yes,
and
it
you
is.
Go in there, and there's, you know, Miss Fousey has her her merchandise that sells very well.
I'm sure very well.
It flies off the shelves. Flying off the shelves.
Miss Fousey t-shirts and whatnot.
It's a popular drag queen here in Chicago, and then there's Terry's Toffees.
That is
Sells well.
Yeah, it sells very well. And it's really tasty.
And so basically it's like those church art sales only happen 7 days a week.
Yeah, and they weed out the crap.
They do?
Do
yeah,
they?
Oh, yeah, you have to present a whole
Well, they have Miss Fousey t-shirts there.
Well, that's true.
That's only part of a line, though, isn't it?
Or is yeah, it's a whole different... It's not her booth.
Okay.
It's a vendor who somehow has her shirt.
Who she licensed to produce her image. But I think it's not the only thing that is in that booth. I think he sells other things. It's one, you know.
Yeah, he sells really cute clothes.
Okay.
So he's got I like to see, too. Like, you know, some drag queen take all her old outfits and go in there and sell them. Like, you know, Delilah Bouvier. My name is Delilah Bouvier, who now works at the MAC Cosmetics store in...
the Schaumburg Woodfield Mall, right?
The Woodfield Mall. And I was in there, you know, because a girl's got to look her best.
True.
And I walked in there and I was the nice young man was doing, you know, makeup consulting services for me. And he turns to me and he's like, I used to share a dressing room with you. And I was like, what? And he was like, yes, my name is Franklin. And I was like, oh, you're Delilah Bouvier. And so she's a kind of like a tailor, an arts and crafts person, and made these really bizarre Carmen Miranda outfits, and all just littering her apartment still to this day. And I'm like, girl, go to Etsy or right. go to, you know?
Because Etsy does have resale now.
That drag queens got to get clothes. Rid of their inventory, you know?
Right, that's true.
And but you know what it is? Is that when you work so hard on that crepe paper fur coat...
It's hard to give it up.
You know? I mean, we have some really nice things that... I'm always glad that we kept them, and sometimes we recycle them and use them into other things, but, man, what do you do with, like, you know, that aluminum foil dress... For
it's
a year,
hard to
you know?
Let things go.
It is hard.
Like, even those, like, when I bring them into a store, it's like,
I love you're like, this one.
Well, you know, I've spent so much cards. Time with them, and I've worked on them so hard.
Yeah.
And I get really attached. I think a lot of artists get attached to their stuff, and it's hard to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is Etsy kind of like those church bazaars where people are trying to, like, intentionally or subtly sabotage each other by giving them bad advice or, like...
You know, I don't think so.
No?
No, but bad reviews.
Bad reviews. They're like, this color blue on this Superman cupcake is just too much.
So you can review something without buying it? So you can, like, if you see an item, you can talk about it?
If you're on Etsy.
Okay.
And you're, so if, you get if you're a profile. Seller
okay.
on Etsy, you're allowed to contact another seller and say, look, I don't care for, you know.
Oh, but it doesn't show up, like, on that product description or anything like that.
No.
To people, people obviously say that to you because they're just like,
all the time.
Aww.
I'm looking here at Regretzi. They have a portrait of a clown family that's just absolutely out of your nightmares. And that's of a mother and the baby clown.
Just, oh my.
You see that, right?
It's the Gacy's at home.
And then there's a felted wool cuff bracelet. I feel like this is like QVC for the mentally deranged. $38 inspired by HR Puffin stuff. And it just looks nothing like H.R. Puffin's stuff.
He's your friend when things get rough, you know.
Mm-hmm. I love H.R. I love Sid and Marty Krofft.
I loved H.R. Puffin's stuff. I went to the movie, which you're probably too way too young to remember.
They had a movie?
Yes, as I'm old enough to be your father.
I remember when the movie was, reading about it when I was young.
Well, I remember watching H.R. Puffin's stuff on television, but...
Oh, I used to love all those cross
shows. So people who don't know, H.R. Puffin's stuff is a children's television program created by two brothers who love to smoke pot. Allegedly, to this day, they still don't fess up to the pot reference of their character's name, Puffin Stuff.
Well, and Lidsville. Puff the Magic Dragon.
Do you remember they had that other show, Lidsville?
That was a psychedelic trip. And so they had these very psychedelic children's television shows, and they invested all their money into H.R. Puffin Stuff, and they decided to turn around with the money that they had made from H.R. Puffin Stuff and do it into Lidsville and other spinoffs. And finally, they hit pay dirt with Sigmund and the Sea Monsters
with Johnny Whitaker,
Land of the Lost, and Bay City Rollers. And so they were kind of like entertainment pioneers in the 1970s, and a lot of people's happy memories come from these pot-smoking brothers from California.
Every Saturday, H.R. Puffin Stuff. And after that was this one, and it wasn't theirs. It was called the Bugaloos.
I love the Bugaloos.
The
Bugaloos.
Has that on.
Yeah, I have it on my iPod.
No, you don't.
The theme song.
Do you really?
I'll pull it up.
Oh, did I used to love that show?
Yeah, the interesting thing is that for some reason they thought it was a really good idea to spend a lot of money and hire British actors from overseas. And actually, the boy that starred Jack Wilde, who was the star of H.R. Puffin Stuff, was also in the movie Oliver.
Which I also saw at the movies.
And so they were really terrible writers.
Movie.
And so they were always turning, recycling plot lines from Oliver into H.R. Puffin Stuff to give him an excuse to sing, like, song from the movie. And it just made absolutely no sense.
What was he in Oliver? He was the
Artful Dodger.
The Artful Dodger, yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think he died.
Did he die? Those child actors always meet a tragic
end. It's a bad road.
You know?
And I wanted to be a child actor, and look what happened to me.
So badly. More than anything in the world.
Here's the Bugaloos. I'm just kind of pulling this.
I can't believe you have the Bugaloos.
Over here, so you're going to... Little treat for you. Starring Martha Ray.
She was the bad witch, right?
She was the Anita Bazaar.
Oh my God.
But some of our English listeners might actually recognize you from a TV show. You did a TV show in the UK?
Live with Clive.
Live with Clive. Now, that was a popular show?
You know, I'm not really sure, but a lot of people from England that were here would come up to me and say they saw me.
Because you worked at Buck's Saloon, which is a bar on Halsted Street in Boys Town.
What did you do for this British TV show?
I was their Chicago correspondent.
Yeah.
So whenever they had a story that involved Chicago... I was the one that would do the story.
So how would they would they fly you up there and film you, or would
no?
You
it was
film
always here,
there?
And they would come here, and Clive would come with about 18 inches of pancake makeup on, and we'd do the story.
So what were some of the stories you did?
Oh, we did Ed DeBevix and Al Capone. You know, all the things that
people think of when they think of Chicago. So gangsters,
right.
and
wind.
A lot of people don't realize that a gay bar in Chicago, Crew, is built on top of one of Al Capone's vault-like hangouts. And so if you're really, 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 really nice to the owners of Crew, they just might discreetly take you for a tour of Al Capone's basement.
And you'll find Geraldo.
Geraldo's
down there.
Well, what was there before, though, was some kind of park that they would have shows and whatnot, you know? So, and underneath also, too, so they would have the toilets. People would go downstairs to go use the bathroom at this park. And so the toilets are still there, so there's these giant urinals. Like we stood inside one. They're so big.
Oh, my God.
They're, like, crazy big.
And we went with our little friend
A
little person. Josh...
Walker,
and Josh was like a little bit intimidated by the oversized urinals. Like it could be like a bathtub for him.
And is he really a little person?
Yeah, he's about this tall. He's really good looking too. And he, you know, it's true what they say: all little people know each other. So he goes to like conventions and like arts and crafts. There's it's filled with gay, alternative, hipster, sexually creative types and right wing Christians.
Yeah, who, you know,
turning to whatever that community to avoid killing themselves.
Well, for years and years on the South Side, there was a bar for little people.
There was?
Yes, it was fabulous.
Did you go to it?
Of course I did. I love me some little people.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
I did. So I had dated a little many, person
like,
one time.
It was like the whole place is filled with them or yeah. what?
And everything was small.
Get out of here.
It was a hoot.
Where was it?
What was the name of this bar?
It was called the Midget Bar.
Nuh-uh.
Swear
no
to God.
No way.
It was called the Midget Bar. And where was it, like, on it the south side?
On the south side, I have no sense okay. of direction.
Okay. So they named their bar after what they consider to be a slur word for well, their back identity. Then,
but that was a lot, you know.
I think the little person thing came around in, like, probably the 80s or 90s. Yeah, because you're going way back, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, when I moved here, the 80s.
Okay.
But, like, that, like you know,
NAACP. But they had been here since the 40s or 50s.
NAACP did never stand for the N-word. You know what I'm saying? It's like... And so it's sort of, you know, and it's sort of like the word, please, for the M word mm-hmm. for
Madonna.
Madonna. I mean, it's sort of strange that they would name a bar after something that's so emotionally charged now.
But back then it wasn't.
But back then it wasn't. So. I mean, like even like in The Wizard of Oz, it said, and the blah, blah, blah midgets.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, that was just a common term.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I guess times change.
Yes, they do.
So did you, I mean...
Did you get some action down there?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I want to know.
I want to know.
Did Tell you, us
did
a
you,
sex
did
story
Did you hook up
it.
At the little person bar?
Perhaps I did. You know, they're they're easily portable. And you can kind of move them wherever you want them.
Oh.
I have to tell you that Regretzi is like hypnotic.
Yeah. Oh, it is. That, and there's this other
oh
one
my goodness.
That has nothing to do with Etsy, but it's called LauraDiggs.com.
Oh, yeah. I love the Laura Diggs.
Oh, my God.
So what it's is like, Laura Diggs?
It's like heroin. It's all these naked men and their apartments, and they critique the apartments around them. Like they're decorating.
Oh, it's so yeah, it's rich.
And people, this is not
it's not safe for work.
So
Regretzi is safe for work.
Regretzi is safe for work, but this is
Laura Diggs is not safe for work.
Horrifying photos of men caught in their emotional extreme. And there's one I'm just looking here. There, a guy who's looking at he's looks like he's naked on his bed, orgasming and looking at a photo of his parents.
And read the reviews. The reviews are hysterical.
Sean, look, we all have our fine familial resentments, but those are usually best aired in a controlled forum, like an intervention, an exorcism, or a cockfight. Working out your ire against mommy and daddy via recon personal ad should be reserved for those with the last names Barrymore or Lohan only. This whole room has such a young adult circa 1989 air to it that it's either A, unoccupied but left extant like an unhealed wound, or B, the site of an arrested development that could never free itself from the nest after atrophy set into the wings.
They had this one on there of these guys that were having sex in this blue room, and the guy wrote, "Oh my God, they're having sex in a Wedgwood bowl." It was like the exact same color and that white. It's just, it's really funny. And I'm surprised they actually show the people now because they used to wipe them out.
Oh, yeah, they did, didn't they?
And it was just the room. So all you saw was the room.
I wonder, they kind of changed it a little bit because you were, did you like it white? Did you like it whited out?
Or yeah,
did you like
it? Actually, I thought
there was something about being it whited out that you were like, because it took the person out of it. So you kind of imagined what that person right. would be. And you didn't really see their cock or their anus all splayed open.
The splayed open butt. That's always such an attractive angle.
Some people really love it, though. They really love it. So did you hear about the Supreme Court has gotten into a lot of news lately? Just recently, they allowed for animal cruelty videos to be showed because there was one guy, and he had a video of dogfights from the 70s. And they said, okay, it's legal because you can have that, because like, how, where are you going to draw the line? Because eventually, what if you, you know, these fishing shows, well, that's cruelty to animals, isn't it? What, you know, or if you take a picture, if you document like a slaughterhouse, well, that's cruelty. Because I guess the impetus for this really was these crush videos where people take like kittens or mice and like women in stiletto heels will crush them so people can get off.
What it's kind really of, just, okay, I hate to be Judge Judy, but what kind of sick gets off on that?
I don't know. I just don't get it. It's just so weird. I just, you know, and so now they're like, what are we going to do? Are we going to pass some, you know, we're going to have to pass some kind of law for anti-crush. So I think we should have like the lolcat law. We should push like our state senator to introduce a bill into Congress.
Well, this the problem with the way this is a law worded, and just, you know, I'm sure the Supreme Court does want to stop these kind of, you know, because it is a snuff film. And snuff films are illegal, and certainly, you know, to create something to kill something on film for entertainment purposes, right, should, you know, we should limit that type of expression. However, a documentary about, say, a poultry farm,
exactly,
or fishing or hunting, all that type of expression would also be limited. Mm-hmm. So that what the Supreme Court said is like, this is too far reaching. We need to have something that specifically addresses those types of films.
Mm-hmm. And that's true. That's horrible.
And it's horrible. But the other thing, there's this other news story too, right on the heels of this, is though a British tourist was arrested for having a bestiality farm in Washington State, and they said they literally, and I had never heard, like, they say this happens in hamsters and whatnot.
A bestiality farm.
They found mice that had their tails cut off, and they were smothered in Vaseline and had a string tied around them.
Their tails cut off? How the hell are...
I don't know why they would cut off the tails.
Because that's the only way you can get it out, for God's sake.
The voice of experience.
Well, they had a string tied around them, but I just, really, who's going to put something like that up inside
you
them?
You know... Come on. Working in a bar for so many years, nothing surprises me.
Really?
Nothing you could tell me could surprise me.
Nothing? So did somebody stuck a mouse up their ass? Really?
I'd be like, all in a day.
I think that's very, very, very rare that there's a human being in this world that gets aroused by abusing and torturing an animal. But, you know, and so I, from time to time, I get... written emails or message on Facebook's like, did Richard Gere really shove a hamster up his butt and stuff? And so you could go to Snopes.com and clarify all that stuff. Whether how popular is the abuse of animals in sex? And I would say it's a very rare situation.
Well, that's good.
I would say pretty rare. The other thing with the Supreme Court this week is, though, they're having a tough time understanding what sexting is. And for any of you listeners out there that don't know, it's when you send photographs of your like boobs or your dick or your ass to somebody else via text message.
Or when you send something written that's arousing or descriptive, like, you know, I want to lick your balls and, you know, touch the tip of your dick with my tongue. And
we're having a sale at the paper source.
So
that gets me up.
Well, so there's this case before that. It's the city of Ontario versus Kwan, and it, you know, it concerns sexting because they're saying that this guy that worked at this police force was sending out these dirty texts or these dirty pagers, and so you're just kind of befuddled by the Supreme Court not understanding the technology behind this. And this is from the Huffington Post, and it says, the first sign that something was amiss was about midway through the argument when Chief Justice John J. Roberts Jr., who is known to write out his opinions in longhand with pen and paper instead of computer, asked what the difference was between email and a pager. So he didn't know what the difference is between
the
email.
They're that age. They have no conception of what it is.
He's in his 50s. Roberts is probably in his 50s. And even still, Fausta's mother works the computer.
And my mother I'm trying to get her to video blog. She still hasn't, you know, grasped. And so she feels very self-conscious about it. But my mother also has a friend, Terry Weeks, who's maybe some of you guys who are familiar with Broadway and artsy writers. He's very a close friend of Terrence McNally. And I was sitting for Terrence McNally's 70th birthday party. My mother and I went up to New York City, and we were hanging out with Terry Weeks in a cocktail bar. And he was like, pulls out this manila folder that's about 2 inches thick. And he's like, I got to read my email. And I like let him have it. I was like, how, why would you not want to learn how to, you know, it's like, and so he responds to emails by writing out on a on manila paper, the yellow paper, and he clips it together and then has his assistant type it in and he sends it out. And so I'm just like, what? What? Oh,
that's how it is. But they also didn't understand like the idea behind a service provider. Like, so they're like, does the text just, how does it show up on your thing? Like, what is it? What's the process? So they don't understand that it goes to like a satellite in the sky and then gets beamed down. And they didn't know if, could you forward these on to people? Oh, could other God, people read them?
Oh my God, they're so like, disconnected from like life.
Oh, it's just like baffling. You're like, how does this happen?
Well, part of it, I think it is that they may not be necessarily as clueless as they come across, mm-hmm. is that the law has to be very specific. And so they have to clarify what the function of a text and message and a cell phone and a pager and printing something out versus forwarding it. Is it legally the same thing? You know, is a tangible object mm-hmm. the same legal equivalent of a virtual object?
Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's you have to have some kind of what I guess it's literacy, some kind of understanding. And these people don't have. It doesn't seem like they have any understanding.
Now Kenny, I want to know more about all the fights you've gotten into with Etsy people. I feel like you're not telling us anything.
You know, I don't get into a lot. Well, I do, but I end them very quickly.
Well, how do you end them?
I
do you report them to the masters.
Oh, you know, I never report anyone, even though on Facebook I get reported constantly for content.
Why?
I have no idea. I get
so because
many
you have nudity in your
letters,
yeah.
And I block stuff too. But I get so many like you've been reported. Mm-hmm. You've been reported. You've been reported.
Well, I was looking at your blog too, and your blog is not safe for work either.
No.
I love your Titty Tuesday, so it's chicks with tits.
And Weenie Wednesdays.
And Weenie Wednesdays. And some of those, you have lots of vintage pictures
all
of guys,
vintage.
All vintage. And I'm just like, some of them, I'm just like, oh my God, well, where is he today?
I mean, you know, the
in a nursing home on Sheridan. Oh.
Yeah.
The Tea Party movement, it really is a real thing. And even though when we watch television, we see a lot of these people, it just befuddles us that there is this element in our society that's so hateful and so violent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it reminds me of the
well, it's
Nazis. Well, I mean, I don't want to compare something to Nazis.
Well,
but
I think you certainly can, because just recently here in Chicago, our friend of the show, Andy Thayer, he was at the Tea Party here in Chicago, and they have photos, and they recognize some of these people as, you know, being racist. There was one guy, they have photos of him. He's on YouTube, like Adolf Hitler's behind him. He's you know, celebrating Adolf's birthday.
Which I think is really bizarre, because that one thing that this political fringe movement that's dominated the Republican Party likes to do is compare President Obama to Hitler, even though they admire Hitler. I mean, so it's like, I mean, it's just really ludicrous. And so,
They're
ludicrous
idiots.
That Lance Baxter, you might know him as the voice of the Geico commercials. 15 minutes could save you 15% on your car insurance. He got drunk.
Well, we don't know if he got drunk.
Allegedly.
Or he might have been stoned.
I don't know why he did this and how he got the phone number, but he called up the Tea Party group, Freedom Works,
mm-hmm.
not to be confused with Steamworks.
Sponsor of today's show.
Sponsor of today's show. Shops for value.
We're America. Say that one more time. That went too fast. We're America.
Where America shops for value.
And he, on the voicemail, said, this is, he asked Freedom Works in his voicemail, what percentage of the people are mentally retarded who are working for Freedom Works and who are following it? And then he said, it's like, what are you going to do? How are you going to spin it when one of your members actually goes out and kills somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Wondering if you got a PR spinning routine planned for that, or are you just going to take it and see where it happens? So Freedom Works responded by posting the information on a blog called biggovernment.com, providing readers not just with a recording of the voicemail, but also the guy's personal phone number and Geico's phone number. So the way Geico responded to it is that they held auditions to replace the actor.
Mm-hmm.
So you will no longer be hearing him in the ads.
Well, and he also said that he doesn't regret. He says
he's not regretsy about it.
He's not regretsy about it. Or he doesn't really blame Geico. He's like, listen, they've been very, very good
right.
to me.
They this just guy had probably, to do.
Yeah, they had to do what they had to do. So, and maybe it was his way of getting
deuce.
Out.
that guy who that from the Freedom
Arts. Oh, God, they all are.
There's
I don't know. You know what? Allstate Insurance looks better and better every day.
And they just did that OK Go video, which was awesome.
And they invest in new media while Geico is flushing millions of your dollars that you may not ever get back with your insurance on television ads. Whereas, you know, and I'm like, TV ads suck. Mm-hmm. Can I just say that? It's like, they charge way too much money for television ads.
And these be advertising on podcasts.
Like Feast there of you Fun, go. You yes. know? Because without you, without your advertising dollars, we could not do this show. Mm-hmm. And it's cost effective. You could spend billions of dollars advertising on you know radio stations, on television, in old crumbly media, or shine like a swan in new media and be sparkly reborn like today's advertiser, Steamworks Gym, Sauna, and Bath.
Release the pressure.
Saca la presión. Steamworks.
Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, Seattle, Toronto, and Vancouver, British Columbia. When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you.
You, and you. Mm-hmm. Visit steamworksonline.com and register to get a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fun on the promo code field. Kenny Stein, and get a discount on your next visit. So get that special discount. Remember, folks, play hard, play smart, where America shops for value. Steamworks.
Yeah. I was a wallflower till I went to Steamworks.
I bet you were.
Tell us about your sexual adventures.
You know, I can't.
Yes, you can.
It's really hard being a bartender. People think, you know, it's great. But when you go to the Steamworks, you can't get anything done. Because all your customers are there. Oh, Biff, you know, hi.
Hey, girl, what's going on?
You know,
I'm in a sling.
You got to work that glory hole.
I'm telling you, that's what it's come down to. And the only place I was popular where no one knew me was Man's World. Because the people there were too old to go out at night. So no one knew who I was.
Now, for people who don't know, Man's World is a Steamworks equivalent here in Chicago that now doesn't longer exist.
Oh, I wept.
You did were you really? Crying.
And they found a body under it.
They did?
They did. A dead body. Yeah. That's right. I heard about
that. No, I thought that was under the roller rink.
It was that's all the same one place, yeah.
Oh, was the dead body under... the dead body was under the roller rinks, what do you call it, where they played the arcade, where they played the games.
Yeah, because it was all that same block, and when they tore it down... Yeah, they tore down the Steamworks, not the Steamworks, the Man's World
Fest. The building, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. It's gone.
I'd never been in there.
Let me tell you... Mm-hmm. You were always the youngest and prettiest, no matter what day of the week.
Well, I remember mentioning to somebody I worked with, and he said something about whatever. He goes, "Oh no, honey, I'm a big girl. I go to Man's World." I was just like, "Okay, I don't know."
But Steamworks now has bears, baths, and beyond,
and we do love those bear boys.
Bears, I say, there's a lot of honey in there. Mm-hmm. Now I want to know, hold on, because you were telling us before we started taping that glory holes used to be circular, and now they've turned into ovals.
They're ovals. What is with that?
It's ergonomics.
Well, because it's you got to have more space or something like that. To get different heights.
Your nuts and jewels.
You know what? That's true because they were always at one height, and after an evening out
at the Ram, you can say the Ram
at the Ram, where America shops for lube, you would always end up with like really bad pulled hamstrings the next day.
Because you were crouching down.
Yeah, you had to like stand a certain way because the hole was lower than the average height person. Uh-huh. And they didn't have any like arm straps.
And that's why you got to go to Steamworks, honey, because they take care of your ergonomics. You don't want carpal tunnel syndrome from having a good time.
Curtis, I want to know if they have varying height levels for the blowholes there.
If it's oval now, okay. Sure, it's built in.
Well, that's the idea, is that the oval height allows for people of different heights.
Why not just do a rectangle? Like a long rectangle.
Well, because rectangles are scary because of the sharp edges.
And you know what? I want to see as little of the person on the other side as I have to.
Really? Is that part of the thrill?
Well, that and like when they have a pair of false teeth in their hand and clack them through the hole. It's pretty fun, too.
Do they do that, really?
Hand to God.
Well, you know, sometimes a nice gum job can really, you know, be the right thing you need, baby.
I'm telling you, nothing like a gummer.
I got to find me an ex-crystal meth addict.
True love can be found. Well, the thing about it is, I think sometimes is, you know... what was I going to say about the blowjobs? We want to talk about, I know we're not supposed to talk about this anymore, but there is a very resourceful drag queen here in Chicago that's managed to turn her apartment her alcove. So when most apartments in Chicago, especially like in our neighborhood in Andersonville, they're all kind of like designed the similar way. And so when you enter them, there's a hallway that leads you into the living room. This drag queen, who should go nameless, but you probably know who we're talking about. She resourcefully has taken a piece of plywood and made herself a glory hole. And so she seduces people on sex websites and brings them over and gets them really horny and gives them blowjobs because, you know, seeing her face would be the ultimate truck stopper.
Because the thing is, like, you can enter her apartment, you can close the door behind you, but you can't really get into the apartment because this glory hole is there.
That's all there is. It's a glory
hole. Only into him.
Yes.
And it's sort of like, I would think it's actually very creative because, one, you don't have to deal with a person's... standing around and eating your food, mm-hmm. taking a shower,
right.
wanting to talk
steal
after
your
sex.
Drugs out of your bathroom.
And leaving a stain on your expensive sheets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the ultimate, where nature abhors a vacuum, the hole will be filled. Speaking of, back to Hitler, I guess we're talking about.
Well, we have a Jewish guy on the show, so it's got to be.
We got to talk about Hitler.
And speaking of holes.
And holes. The movie studio responsible for the award-winning German-Austrian film Downfall, where you've seen that viral phenomena mm-hmm. where they've taken that scene of Hitler spazzing out mm-hmm. and they put captions under it like, you know, what do you mean I... you know, don't have an iPad.
Britney Spears shaved her head. I can't believe it.
So they put new caption and recontextualizing Hitler, and they've taken down every single bit of parody, mm-hmm. which is really stupid because, for the movie studio, this viral phenomena has dramatically increased the sales and rentals of the film. So for the movie studio to try to shut down derivative mm-hmm. works based on this movie mm-hmm. scene, not only hurts the bottom line of the studio and the filmmakers, but it also is illegal. It's not legally possible because it is derivative work mm-hmm. and it's open to fair use.
Well, but so they've taken it down, and they have a right to do that. And I think they want
to
protect.
They don't have a right to do that.
They certainly do. They want to protect their art, what they've created, and the message of their film. And they feel as though maybe it gets diluted or, you know, the consequences of his actions are lessened because it becomes comical.
People, it's called fair use. Mm-hmm. Wikipedia it.
Wikipedia.
But why did YouTube take it down?
Because they cave into anybody's copyright demands and then ask questions later.
That's true.
You know, they'd rather be safe than sorry.
They own a copyright. It's their right to it.
And there's fair use mm-hmm. laws that deal with copyright mm-hmm. and to mm-hmm. allow the space for derivative works to be made. There's a very interesting blog entry that's mm-hmm. on our website that's gotten a lot of attention about Lady Gaga.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
And the nature of theft or copyright works.
Because they're saying she plagiarized all her outfits.
All her outfits visually from a certain woman, which I'm
bringing it just the same designer.
There's a lot of designers. In defense of Grace Jones, who's complaining that Lady Gaga's stolen a lot of her looks. But I would say that, you know, there's a lot of those angular sort of extreme fashion looks date all the way back to the Futurist movement.
And she's wearing the clothes from the 80s it's her and Grace Jones have the same designer.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, and
actual same person.
Yes, the actual.
What's it? Do you know the name off the top of your head?
Same person, Terry Mugler.
Terry Mugler.
And her stuff and the Gaga stuff is his old stuff from the 80s.
So he probably pulled some stuff out of his closet that he had designed for Grace Jones and said, here, Gaga, now where's my $1 million?
Right.
You know, it's... Listen to what he says. Okay. Now, this is his name is Barrett, mm-hmm. a windbag in the Windy City. And you can read follow his blog for whenifeellikesharing.tumblr.com. And so he wrote, I think the problem a lot of people have with Lady Gaga is the praise of her seems undeserved. She's credited as a dynamic creative force when all she does is wear Alexander McQueen and release a monotonous music. The lyrics of Telephone and Just Dance are different. How? And based on her older performances and numerous down-tempo piano renditions, she doesn't even seem to be making the kind of music that she wants to be making, only going along with what really sells. And so people are just like,
yeah, they're like freaking out.
And, you know, listen, Lady
Gaga. Well, I like what Martian said. Will you read Martian's comment?
Martian's is perfect. Okay. This is the... So, Martian DeLellis, puppeteer, the Lady Gaga of puppetry, he said, I'm just glad there is more room in the world stage for weird people and peacocks. Perhaps Gaga is a sign that we are coming out of the dark ages as a country. After 9/11, our culture went more Stepford and probably would not have accepted or welcomed a pop star with an alter ego of a lesbianic serial killer with telephone-shaped hair extensions into our living rooms, iPods, and our hearts. Gaga is criticized for ripping off other people's images, but nobody criticizes boring people for copying other boring people.
That's my favorite part. That's
and even if good. She is a puppet rock star, at least perhaps she is picking these talented designers, stylists, choreographers, and other creative people to help make an image for herself. If she's not personally picking them, at least she is smart enough to create hype and some money to employ these designers and their off-kilter, wacky, eccentric visions. There are lots of ways to be creative.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And, you know, and artists borrow from other artists. Artists see this and, you know, there's room for everyone.
But there are also laws to protect artists from their works being stolen.
Right. Well,
there's Creative Commons, there's copyright laws.
Because like Cyndi Lauper, she sued Madonna. Didn't she sue Madonna?
And won.
And won.
That's and Madonna, you know, the consequence of that lawsuit is that Madonna had to move to England.
I don't know about that.
We don't know.
She had to move back to her hometown of Pontiac.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I'm from Michigan, not pretty.
Oh, really? What part of Michigan are you from?
I'm from Southfield.
Southfield. Where is that, by Detroit?
It's outside of Detroit.
Okay.
But I was born and raised in Detroit until they had the riots. And okay. Then, woo, we were gone.
You're like, we're white. We must leave.
Did you see the Glee episode with Madonna that featured Madonna's music?
And I watched it last night.
What'd you think about it?
Well, I like the shows, but it was all right. I mean,
yeah, that's how I felt about it, too.
It hit some hits and some misses.
It felt like an infomercial for Madonna. They're like, the chart-topping singer whose works really challenges icons and identity. But and it was like, what? It felt, where is the Madonna that used to sit on a bed and torture her backup dancers with the possibility of having sex with her?
You know? She's a lady now.
It just bothers me. It felt very, very... I love Glee, and I loved what the show was, but it did feel like a really, like, hard sell.
Yeah.
You know? Like, okay, I love Madonna. I get it. Mm-hmm. You know? You don't have to... And why didn't she do Hanky Panky?
She might not own the rights to that. It might be owned by, like, the
She might not own the rights. You know, sometimes you just got to shut your eyes and pray no one knows you don't own the rights to something.
Going Bananas.
You just
got
to wing it.
What's your favorite Madonna song? Mine is Going Bananas.
My favorite Madonna. Oh,
how does the bananas
I'm mean? Going bananas because my full la 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 la. Because I'm going bananas.
My favorite Madonna song. God, that's such a Sophie's Choice.
It is? Or one of your favorite obscure Madonna songs that no one really remembers.
Let's see, Love Don't Live Here Anymore.
Can you hum a few bars?
Oh, honey, you don't want to hear me sing. Trust me.
Oh, yes, we do.
You know, it was a Rose Royce song in the 70s. You've abandoned me. And it's painful to hear her crank up to some of those
really?
Notes. Well, you know, you got to admit, she's not really a singer. I love her, but she's not a singer.
She's going bananas.
She's not a strong singer.
Yeah, she's not what you would call, you know.
She's a pop singer.
I like Hanky Panky.
I like Hanky Panky, too.
Please don't call me doctor.
I don't you know what? I like anything she does. I do. I like anything. She's infinitely watchable.
Absolutely.
I never get tired of seeing her. I get tired of hearing her speak sometimes because I know she's from Pontiac, Michigan. London.
When celebrities are crazy,
accent, though, right?
When celebrities are crazy and they're train wrecks, It just, it is like, I could eat that shit up 24 hours a day.
All day.
You know? It's like,
I'm like that too.
More
Kabbalah water that will heal the planet.
Oh, pour your Kabbalah water into my heart.
Glee was okay. It wasn't fantastic. I really fell in love with Glee last season when it was on, or the first part, and I was just like, this is wonderful. But I just wonder how, if it's going to be able to sustain itself. I'm just not, I don't know. I'm not overwhelmed by it.
How much money did Madonna pay Fox to, or was it a trade in order to promote Madonna to younger audiences?
Is that what it was?
Maybe that could be. Mm-hmm.
They said she had nothing to do with like the negotiations or anything.
They fell all over themselves to sell Madonna, and it was really out of character for Sue Sylvester to enjoy music.
It was
any
so
kind.
Funny at the end though.
What?
That around 8:30, halfway through her. It was her Vogue video.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I did have to pee a little. I laughed so hard.
Well, the thing about it is that she kind of looks like Madonna herself.
I know. That's what I was thinking, too.
Haggish. And,
they could have used a little more filter on her, though, I thought. Just a little bit more.
Listen, there's
like Lucille Ball in Maine.
Yes.
Lucy, are you in there somewhere?
Or RuPaul.
A couple of buckets of Vaseline on the lens wouldn't kill you.
Wouldn't at all.
There's a 49-year-old farmer named Wu Yulu from the outskirts of Beijing who's achieved nationwide fame in China for his home-brewed robots.
Are you listening, Curtis?
Yeah, get a hard on.
Our friend fucked a robot.
He had sex with a robot.
Mm-hmm. Got fucked by a robot.
And had his heart broken, too.
Yeah.
And then he's never been the same since.
Get out.
Because robots...
Yeah.
One of those machines that had a dildo on it goes.
I've seen that.
Wu says that he's been building robots since 1986. He has invented over 47 robots which can walk, pour tea, offer smokers a light, give erotic massages,
ooh,
and even paint pictures.
Wow.
Added the erotic part to the massages.
Did you really? I bet they bet he has something for that.
Going to the Shanghai World Expo and showing some of his robots.
We got to get there.
We are so there.
his studio looks like the set of Herbie Hancock's Rocket.
We watched that today before you came over because we're like, oh, let's watch that.
Oh my god. And when that video came out, it was such a huge deal.
It was huge.
Was it really a big deal? Because I remember as a kid in Puerto Rico watching that and going, this shit's going to give me nightmares.
It was such a huge deal. It was like, it's so advanced. It's so technological, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. High tech.
Robot. It's so high tech.
They're coming.
Those mannequin legs walking around. They were going to make us sex slaves to their sexy ways.
Mm-hmm. And then rule our planet.
All right.
Well, Brian, it's been a pleasure.
It has been a hootenanny.
I know. So
Brian,
people,
Kenny Stein. Same person.
So Kenny Stein is your name, and your label is Brian Kenny.
Mm-hmm. Right, Brian Kenny Chicago.
And that's your website, right? BrianKennyChicago.com.
Yes.
Making the world a better place, one fabulous card at a time. We highly recommend you get some of his cards and for somebody's birthday. Or
just cause.
What do you have for Mother's Day? Because that's the next big holiday. Because I'm trying to think. I can't get any of these to my mother.
All of my Mother's Day is available now on Etsy.
Okay.
The Andersonville Galleria are our number one on Chicago and Ashland. Mm-hmm. In Fort Lauderdale, To the Moon. Mm-hmm. And online also at www.briankennychicago.com.
I think maybe I'll send this one to my mother, which is a drag queen. It looks like a drag queen
passed
with her
out.
Head in the oven. Will my mother appreciate that, do you think, Fausto? Or should I give
her the
Frank Sinatra with the old blue eyes?
I think, the mugshot photo of Frank Sinatra.
I have no
idea.
What was he arrested for?
Being too sexy.
For being too fabulous.
For being too fabulous.
And we're going to leave you with some music that's too fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
This is Move Your Body by Chicago's very own David Dubb,
mm-hmm.
who does not retouch his photos at all.
And he's very handsome.
Actually, in person, he's as good looking as he looks on his album cover.
And he has those highlights and everything?
He looks highlights and fierce, everything. Honey. He actually paints those on.
Magic markers.
We want to remind you that you can follow us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/feastoffun and join on the fun there. Or Twitter, twitter.com/feastoffun.
And I want to remind people, too, we can't do the show without your support. So please visit feastoffun.com/iPhone and donate to our ongoing website maintenance costs.
A dream is around the corner, and we are hoping to release Feast of Fun on the iPhone, on the iPad, possibly on the Android, possibly on the BlackBerry, or whatever mobile platform you got.
Or on Brian Kenny's cards.
There you go.
Or in your imagination. I want to thank you so much, Brian.
It was lovely. Thank
you. Kenny Stein, for coming. I'm Fausto Fernandes.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everyone. Bye-bye.
Gonna make you sweat. Hotness makes it wet. Wanna make a bet? You will not forget. And higher than the sky, we are gonna fly. You just hold on tight and enjoy the ride.